gonna pray. I'm gonna praise. I'm gonna worship. I'm gonna clap my hands. Come on, clap your hands right now and tell the Lord hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice to Him right now and fire in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, come on, rejoice, rejoice in the God who makes a way when there is no way. Praise God. Turn as you stand on your feet to Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63 and verse 1. If you were here Wednesday night, or if you listened through live, you heard a powerful message preached by Sister Barlow this past Wednesday night. And after she spoke, I said, well, that was part one. And then we'll continue part two today in today's service because it's going to flow together. It is our theme service. Our theme for this year is being desperate. I know it's September, but I don't know if we all have caught on quite yet. But we still got 4 months left, including today. But hopefully before this year is over, we'll grasp a hold of what God put in my spirit last year concerning what He wants from this church. Psalm 63 and verse 1. I want you all to read it with me, please. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Praise God. I want to preach to you this morning, spirit of desperation. Spirit of desperation. One more time, place your Bibles down, lift your hands up to the Lord, and open up your mouth and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to my heart, my mind, let revelation move inside of me. Take me beyond my flesh, oh God, and take me into the spiritual avenues that you want me, oh God, to travel down. Let my spirit explore the depths of God. Let my spirit receive a revelation, oh God, that won't allow me to be the same. Allow the word of God to find such an impactful place in my spirit. I would know how to get a hold of you. I would know how to get your attention, Lord Jesus. I would know how to fight in any battle and any circumstance that I go through in face. I shall be tooled up. I shall be equipped. I shall walk in the anointing of God. I shall have the virtue of Almighty God touch me. I shall grow in the knowledge and the grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will win victoriously with you on my side. I will conquer every fear. I will conquer every barrier. I will conquer every stronghold. I am a winner in you, Lord Jesus. And I pray your word would empower my life. Let me leave like I've never been left before in your presence. Revelation, I pray in this house. I pray revelation, God. Enlighten our understanding. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The question must be asked among us, do I know the voice of God? Because his sheep knows his voice. Does he have my ear? Can I hear him? Can I hear him guide me? Can I hear him lead me? Can I hear him directing my steps? Samuel did not know the voice of God in the early part of his ministry, but the Bible does say he was listening. I always talk to this church as a church that has a starting point wherever you are in your spiritual relationship. And like Sam, you might be sitting here today and say, I'm not that close to God. I don't have that deep relationship with God. I don't know the voice of God. But my question to you, even in that place, is I ask you, are you still trying to listen for him? Because if you have a purposeful mindset to listen for the voice of God. God will reveal his voice to you. He will put an Eli in your life and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening." Am I listening to him? And so in connection with our theme service, I was reading the word of God, and God impressed strongly on my heart and my mind the phrase, spirit of desperation. There are reasons why people can be in very difficult situations but won't get desperate in the middle of their situation. People can have desperate situations happening, but they won't get desperate to match the level of what's going on in their place of desperation. And I thought, as I began to think about these things in my mind, because I think about these things, they bother me in a sense on why human beings are the way they are, and I try to come up with answers. And what I thought, it was maybe the undertones of our consciousness that says, number one, things aren't really that bad. Why should I get desperate if I really don't think that they're that bad? Because, you know, here in America, things seemingly always work themselves out. And number two, I think is even more relevant, is things seem like they're not really going to change. So number one, maybe things are not that bad, but number two, things are so bad, why get desperate for them to change? Because most times in my life, things don't change. So why should I work myself up in a tizzy? Why should I get myself all hyped up about something that I don't really believe is ever going to be different than the way they've always been? Am I talking to real people here today? I don't have to put forth a concerted effort because I'm so sick and tired of being let down when I put forth a strong effort. What happens is a spirit of complacency moves in. A spirit of complacency says, I don't have to get serious about change because change never happens. I don't really have to consecrate or humble myself because that's a waste of time. I don't need to press and get desperate for God. Now, as I thought about those things, I thought that was the case. But as I continued to pray about this word, the Lord was saying, Brother Rodney Barlow, things are not that simple. I said, okay, what is it? He says, people are too depressed to press. People are too depressed to press. There's so much burden upon them, so much heaviness upon them. And the natural inclination in that place, in that status, is to simply take it, but not have the strength to be able to move beyond the thing that is causing the depression and the oppression in the first place. Because my people, when they get depressed and oppressed, they do exact opposite of what I ask them to do because of their natural tendencies. To depress, to press. I want to press, I don't have the strength to press. I want to fight, I don't have the strength to fight. I want to get deep in the things of God, but I don't feel like I have enough energy to muster up in order for me to get to that place. It seems like my depression has been my greatest enemy. So to clarify the thought, desperate people may be depressed, but they don't have the strength to press. And they thought they had no other options in their desperate place. But the Lord says, tell them, I'm about to give them more options in their desperate place. How many want some options in your weakness? How many want some options in that place where you don't find the strength? And what has to be the case for so many is that we don't sometimes understand exactly how God uses hard things in order for him to show himself strong in our life. I told this to somebody else. It's sometimes we don't press because God just takes too long. Sometimes God does not understand how weary I am. God just doesn't understand how far out I am on the edge. And why doesn't he just do things my way? And he says, go to the book of 1 Samuel, and we see a king that was being called named Saul. Here lies a man who was called. Here lies a man who was anointed. Here lies a man who was chosen by God, but he ended up a complete failure, and he did not live a life that ended up being for somebody for us to copy or emulate. But I want to stress the fact at the same time, that did not take away that he was called, that he was chosen, and that he was anointed. You can be anointed, you can be called, and you can be chosen, but if you don't have a spirit of desperation, it will bring a spirit of depression that will bring a spirit of complacency. That was going to be the natural thing that's going to rise up to. I'm going to say that again. If you don't get a spirit of desperation, you will get a spirit of depression, and a spirit of complacency will then be the natural thing that will overtake you. What we see first in the beginning of Saul's calling, when it was time for him to rise up and be anointed in front of his peers and to the whole nation of Israel, the Bible tells us that Saul was hiding. You know, it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to show yourself as what God called you to be. It was a time when the people were going to recognize the hand of God that was upon your life, the calling of God that was upon your life. And we always heard that maybe this was a place of humility for Saul. But as I begin to pray about this message, I felt that was another way of looking at this scripture. It was not just Saul being humble and not wanting to be prideful to stand up. I see God saying something else. I see he was not necessarily trying to be exempt from pride. I see this was the beginning of a spirit of complacency that began to rise up inside of Saul's life. Being crowned the first king of God's people put him in a position of extreme importance. Can I tell somebody right now, God calling you and God anointing you and God choosing you, you better understand that is a extreme place of importance for your future and for your family's future. And we cannot be in a place of hiding. We cannot be in a place of complacency. I feel the Holy Ghost pushing me. Lord, help me slow down a little bit. The attitude that he showed is that when they were ready to progress, ready to move forward, ready to get the oppression of the Philistines off of their life, we finally have what we always asked for. We have momentum, and God yielded and allowed us to have a king to lead us to a new era. Oh, please hear what I'm saying. And God says, fine. It was not my first will, but it's my allowable will. And so I'm going to anoint somebody. I'm going to appoint somebody to help lead you towards where I want you to go. And in that place, I think that's where we find ourselves. Saul, God has called you. Saul, God has anointed you. Saul, God has chosen you. And now when it's your time to rise up, now you're in a place of hiding. Now when it's your time to move forward and lead, a spirit of complacency has all of a sudden moved in your life. And now we're supposed to anoint you, but now the people, instead of calling him and anointing him and putting him where he should be, they have to have a prayer meeting to be in a place where he should have been. I feel the Holy Ghost. There are people that are praying prayers they should not have to pray about you. Oh, I'm going to talk to somebody here today. It's time for you to rise up with a spirit of desperation instead of hiding. And people got to pray for you. Why are you praying for Saul? He's already anointed. Why are you praying for Saul? He's already called. He's already chosen. I'm talking to some Sauls here in this place. We shouldn't have to continue to pray for you. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know God
God has already called you. It might not be for everybody here today, but I pray I talk to some souls and tell you, stop hiding behind the stuff. God has already called you. Stop hiding behind the stuff. God has already anointed you and appointed you. We don't need another prayer meeting for you. We don't need another prayer fasting chain for you. Get out of your hiding. Rise up and be all that God has called you to be. Rise up and be all that God said He says you were. Extra people doing extra stuff in a place you should have already been in. Israel's history, they were constantly on the defensive concerning the enemies that surrounded them, constantly getting their proverbial tails kicked on a consistent basis. They were a people that had been abused. They were a people that had been limited. They were a people who were constantly pushed around, constantly mistreated, constantly overlooked, never belonged in that area. And now God has made an allowance for a king to rise up among you, fight for them, and lead them with boldness and might and strength. But he's nowhere to be found. He's hiding behind the stuff. And the Lord put it so strong in my heart and say, tell the church, there are too many souls in this church. There's too many souls hiding behind stuff, hiding behind your past, hiding behind your fears, hiding behind your worries. And you're hiding and you're not walking in the calling that God has placed you in. And because you're not walking in your calling, Israel or the church as a whole is being affected by it. Oh, Saul, you're going to rise up. God called and anointed a king to see things change. Do you believe that's you? Or you have a spirit of complacency? Called and anointed to see a future different with hope. Called and anointed to see this generation win like no other former generation could win. Can I say there are some kings and queens in this place today? I'm calling you out and I'm saying stop hiding. I'm saying rise up. Come from behind the stuff and say I am the one that God has anointed. Come on, if you believe it, your hands should be raised. That's what I'm talking about. Anytime I say I'm anointed, your hand should be raised and say, that's me. You got to start to engage in the word of God and say, I've been called. I went to find my daddy's donkeys, but in the middle of that, God put me in a place where I can be somebody that can redeem others. And I got to believe it. I love the story of Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says they had another spirit. The Bible didn't say what the other spirit was, but I tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't a spirit of complacency. It wasn't a spirit of fear. No. No, no, no. The story fits of what I'm trying to talk to you about. Here are two men that were slaves. Here were two men who had a past, who had all kind of bruises on their body, who had all kind of things that worked against them. And I don't want to brush over that too quickly. They had the mentality of a slave. They had the abuseness that they received as slaves. And they had it bad as slaves. They were beat down as slaves. They were talked about as slaves. They were looked down upon. They had nothing as slaves. And they were taught and they were conditioned as slaves to believe that they were nothing. It would never amount to nothing, and they would never be nothing. That's how they were taught. But then I have to go further saying, well, why were they slaves in the first place? Catch what I'm saying this morning. Catch what I'm saying this morning. Why were they slaves in the first place? Scripture says they were made slaves to be oppressed through forced labor. Oppression comes when you are forced to be in places or do things that you don't want to do or be a part of. But the reason why they were made slaves is because the king did not know their position. Now hear what I'm saying right now. Before they became slaves, Egypt was a place of safety. And it's so funny how some relationships begin as a place of safety, but then end up being a place of abuse. And that's where the Israelites find themselves in. It was Joseph who was called out, and it was Joseph who called his dad and his brothers to come and live in Egypt. Come to Goshen, Pharaoh said, and I'm going to protect you. And so one time, a relationship can be a place of covering, but after a while, that place that was there for a covering can be the very thing that's trying to destroy your life. Egypt was first a place of safety. Joseph brought his family there, but when there comes a time, God is saying, I need to shift your focus from where your safety comes from. And that's why some relationships don't work out the same way it didn't work out for the Israelites. But Egypt was first a place of safety. Don't forget that. They moved to Egypt to not starve to death. But now the Lord says, I got to cut off that relationship. I have a promised land I want to take you to. And so when Joshua and Caleb saw this transition and they saw the Jordan River, they said, it's my promised land. There were those that said, we can't fight. There were those that said, we can't cross over. We're just former slaves. Joshua and Caleb said, I don't care what we've been in our past. I'm reaching for a promised land. I'm reaching for a place that's so much better than where I was before. And Joshua and Caleb says, I can't be complacent even though I see walled cities. I can't be complacent even though I see giants in the land. I can't be complacent even though Jordan River is overflowing its banks. I gotta possess what God says is mine. I gotta get a hold of it, and I can't get a hold of it if I don't get a spirit of desperation in my soul. And when we talk about the spirit of desperation, you also must understand you are always going to be in the minority. Those that get desperate for God are always in the minority. It was 2 that were desperate. It was 10 that all they could see is the problems. So let me tell you, the majority of people will always look at the problems first, rather than at God first. But God is saying, I'm trying to call some Joshuas and some Calebs and say, I don't care how negative things are around me. I don't care how bad things are stacked up against me. And I don't care all the majority that says we might as well go back to Egypt. They said, no, I refuse to have a spirit of complacency, but I'll get a spirit of desperation. That's what they had. They said, I'm not going back. If I got to fight by myself, I'll fight by myself. But I might have a spirit of desperation and grab a hold of what God has for me. I'm not going back to my old man. I'm not going back to my old ways. I'm not going back to my old lifestyle. I'm going to walk forward to what God has for me. Different mindset. God is trying to give you a different mindset, and complacency won't get you there. When you have a spirit of complacency, things will keep on being the way they've always been. And you'll always be stuck missing what God intended for you because you weren't desperate for. The Bible says in Exodus 1:11, therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. If you don't get desperate, you'll keep on building the house of your enemy. He'll keep wearing on your back and wearing on your mind, and you'll be building his kingdom rather than God's kingdom that he has for you. But Joshua and Caleb said, my kids are not going to live in this place. My future is not going to live in this place. My future is going to be better, and no one is going to stop me from getting desperate for the word of God. But others died in the wilderness, while some, very few, made it over. Are you going to die in the wilderness, or are you going to get desperate for God? God is always going to work
on behalf of desperate people. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She saw the crowd, but she pressed him. She had an issue for 12 years, but she pressed on anyhow. She suffered a great deal of many doctors and many physicians, and she spent everything that she had. We know the conclusion of the story, but sometimes we miss the gravity of her situation and seeing the place that she was in. We all could have read that story and saw her give up and become complacent, and we all would say, I totally get it. I totally understand. That's what we always say. I get it. I understand. It's all right. It's okay. We pacify ourselves while we suck our thumb and miss our blessings. Everybody would have felt fine about that woman. I mean, she spent what she had already. For 12 years, she's given everything that she got and still no answer. She is excused. Let her be what it is. Why try anymore? In your trying, you lost everything. In your best efforts, you still had the divorce. Am I talking to anybody? In your best efforts, you still didn't get the job. In your best effort, there still was no healing that took place. Why should you be desperate anymore? You should be worn out and tired every time you tried to fix it. The Bible says, with all that being said, all the money that she spent, all the care she went to the doctor, the Bible says things grew worse. Why should I try if things get worse? Why should I try if things never seem like they're going to get better? This is a perfect place for complacency. Now stay with me here. The Bible says the issue was in her blood. And the Bible teaches us that life is found in the blood. And so when she had an issue with her blood, meant she had life issues. She had an issue with her life. So you might not have an issue of blood, but many of you have issues with life. You don't know how to cope with life, and you're trying to do life your way, but yet you're still broken, yet you're still hurting, yet you're still lost, yet there's still prayers that have not been answered. Am I talking to anybody here today? Yet you still got bitterness and hatred and anger inside of you, confusion inside of you, and you said, I have so many life issues, what should I do? She was honest about her life issue. She knew she was losing her life, and she was honest about losing her life. Someone here is also losing your life through addictions. You are losing your life. You are throwing your life away with the cares of the world, trying to gain the whole world. You are going to lose your soul, trying to figure out things and fix relationships by yourself. You are going to lose out in your walk with God. I'm preaching to somebody here. I'm trying to get somebody's attention here this morning. Your focus has been in the wrong place. Your focus has been on the wrong things. And I know you got problems. I know you got life issues. I know you got things trying to kill and throw you out, but there has to be something that arises inside of you and say, I have a root issue, therefore I cannot sit here anymore. I can't complain anymore. There's something I gotta do in order to deal with the life issue I have going on right now in my life. So I spent all I had, all my time, all my resources, all my efforts trying to fix myself, running around everywhere, trying to get life under control. Pastor, I'll be back when I get everything under control. Pastor, you got to save a seat for me. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back, and this is no time to be complacent, trying to fix things on ourselves. And so finally, with all the pain, with all the bleeding, with all that she tried to get to stop, all the pain she tried to get to stop, all the effort she tried to get the emptiness to go away, at the end of all of her efforts, she grew worse. I love telling the story of how you try to fix something, you make it worse, about how I tried to fix the washer and dryer downstairs here. Only the dryer was broke, but somehow I broke the washer too. Only I could do that. But the lesson is, when you try to fix things yourself that you don't know how, you're going to make things worse. This was not that woman.
She got a different spirit. She got a spirit of desperation. She said, I know I'm broken. I know I'm dirty. I know I'm hurting. But if I can just get close. Is there anybody here that can say in your soul, I know I have life issues, but if I can just get close, if I can somehow press my way, though I'm unclean and though I'm unworthy, I know I can get in a lot of trouble for what I'm doing. But I don't care. I want to be made whole. I know there'll be whispers and say, what are they doing here? What are they trying to do? I know their past. I've seen them at the doctor's office. I've seen them at the psychiatric ward. I've seen their tears. I've seen them begging at the bank. I've seen all their trouble. But yet they don't have a care in the world. I'm not going to be complacent. I know if I could just get close to the master. And what happens is, what issues that would have normally stopped me before won't stop me this time. Yeah, when you get desperate, there were some things before you weren't desperate, and so you didn't make your way to the crowd. You just let it be. But when you start to transition to that new place, you say, that barrier stopped me before. There it is again. It ain't going to stop me this time. People ain't going to stop me this time. Myself ain't going to stop me this time. My flaws ain't going to stop me this time. My mistake yesterday ain't going to stop me this time. I got a life issue, but I also got a spirit of desperation. Stay with me. It is a spirit of desperation that will activate your faith. Faith did not come first. Desperation came first. Because sometimes you're sitting here in the house of God and you're hearing the preached word, but you don't have faith to believe in the word of God. What I find in the scripture is you don't even need faith yet. You first need desperation. And so that is for everybody here today. You might be depressed. You might be tired. You might not have the strength of yourself, and you might not even have faith in God. I tell you, you're still not disqualified. All you need to qualify yourself is, if I have anything, I got problems, I got issues, I got circumstances, and I am desperate. I tell you, you are a candidate for a miracle. I tell you, you are a candidate for a breakthrough. You might not have all the faith in the world, all the strength in the world. You might be completely flawed. You are in the right place at the right time, but you gotta get a spirit of desperation. And she said, I'm gonna make my way to Jesus. And as she made her way, that's when faith started to increase. You might not have faith right now, but you gotta start walking desperate. And as you walk desperate, you start to change your words. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to press. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to keep on moving forward. I'm not there yet, but I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward. I need a breakthrough. The more she began to be desperate, the more she began to press. And the more she began to press, the more she began to anticipate. You got to start somewhere. See, some of you won't move because you think you got to be all the way there. So when I get there, Pastor, I'll shout, I'll dance, I'll worship. And I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to be there. You got to be where you are now. But where you are now, the more you press, the more your faith goes forward, and the more you're anticipating it. And before, she was probably a little bit timid, but as she got closer, I think she got more bold. She started pushing people out the way. I didn't start with that faith, but I started where I was, and I'm desperate, and I kept on moving closer. If I keep on moving, there's a spirit of anticipation that comes upon you. Why don't you lift your hands right now and say, I'm gonna press. I'm about to anticipate a breakthrough in this house right now. I feel the Holy Ghost moving me right now. The more desperate I get, the more hope I get as well. If you're desperate, I tell you, hope is about to follow your desperation. And the question is, how desperate are you? But if you're desperate, get ready for your blessing. But if you're desperate, get ready for your breakthrough. If you're desperate, here comes a miracle. And as she kept on pressing, she said, I think things are about to get better. If you keep on pressing, things go get better. If you keep on moving forward, things go turn around. Her desperation caused her to get Jesus to change himself as well. Can I break it down here for a moment? The Bible says that Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. His mind was made up and focused to go handle this thing and handle that thing. And sometimes as you're trying to get your miracle, it seems like Jesus' attention is on other people and on other things. Other people are getting blessed and you're just trying to press. Other people are getting breakthroughs, but you're just trying to make it one more day. But look what happens. Brother Marco, get up. Luke, praise God. And we're going to look at that chapter real quick here. It's going to be in the 30th verse. Hallelujah. It's going to be powerful when we see what Jesus does. If we learn how to press, we're going to see some great things take place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to reveal this to somebody, God. I want somebody to get this breakthrough, Lord Jesus, in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on and pray for a moment here. We're going to transition right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let there be a transformation of faith right now, God. A transformation of God in somebody's heart right now, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. If we press, oh God, here comes a blessing. If we press, oh God, here comes a breakthrough. If we press, oh God, something mighty, something miraculous is going to happen right now, God. The Bible says she pressed. And in her pressing, Jesus did something he could not even help himself from doing. Jesus had to stop in his tracks, even though other people were already touching him. Other people were already pulling at him. Other people were calling on his name in some form or fashion. But this time around, the Bible says that Jesus stopped and Jesus said, something has happened to me even that I have never felt before. I felt people touch me and call my name before, but there's something about a touch from a desperate person. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something that will stop God in his tracks. And the Bible says that something left him that he did not get permission to give away. Lots of time we ask God for something to move in our life, but something left him that he did not give permission to leave him. But I tell somebody right now that you can get the virtue of God Almighty, that even if you don't even ask for it properly, he has to respond to a spirit of desperation. Something happens to him in his own spirit. Well, the Bible said he stopped and he literally had to ask, who touched me? Something left me that was not asked for. He turned around. Remember, he was focused on helping Jairus' daughter. The spirit of desperation would stop Jesus in his tracks. And the disciples got sarcastic. Because when something happens in the supernatural, there are certain things that everybody's not going to understand. And the disciples are sarcastic and say, Jesus, a multitude is pulling and thronging at you. And Jesus says, see, some of you don't understand the spirit of desperation. But when you get in that place where nothing else matters and you get a hold of Jesus, something transitions out of his spirit. The Bible says virtue left him and he was forced to ask, who touched me? And you read the scripture and you see that when you're guilty about something, it seems like that everybody knows you're guilty. So when nobody answers, it's just like she had a big old mark on her forehead. And she could not be silent anymore, because you know when something has happened in you, you think everybody knows it's you. You ever done something? And somebody just says that general thing, and you think everybody's looking at you? I have. So she couldn't take it anymore. She had to speak up, and she says, I'm the one who touched you. I'm the one that had a need. I'm the one that's been suffering so long with this problem, so long with this addiction, so long with this fear in my life, so much of all this in my life, and I you were my only hope. And so, yes, I'm guilty as charged. It was a spirit of desperation that got a hold of me. Now watch what he says to her. Go to the next verse. Daughter, be of good cheer. I didn't heal you. I'm not the one that was in control of this one. I'm not the one that had any difference in this thing at all. I got to give you a word of revelation. We keep saying that we're waiting on God, but God was minding his own business. God was doing his own plan. God was doing his own thing. And so many people don't worship, don't praise, because we say, God is not hearing me. God is not answering me. God has a word for all of us that have ever been in that position to say, no, it wasn't me. It was you. It was your faith. It was your desire. It was your desperation that made you whole. Stop always thinking it's God. Sometimes it's you that will press your way and say, I had a spirit of desperation and I need a miracle. And Jesus said, your faith hath made you whole. That word is pistis, which is faith, which is also interpreted faithfulness. Your faithfulness with your desperation is going to give you your answer. It was the Lord saying, something left me, I didn't even have control. And so I had to stop and address it and give somebody a word of revelation. You can get what you need from God. You can pull out of the very essence of God if you get a spirit of desperation. I want someone right now going to raise your hand, because we got to make sure the Holy Ghost takes us to where he wants us to go. The Lord is telling someone here today, it's not me that you're waiting on. I'm waiting on you to pull what you need out of me. Pull what you need. But if you go pull it out of me, it has to flow from a spirit of desperation. Joshua, Caleb, and this virtuous woman. Oh, it's us today. God says, I fill you with my spirit. But you got to get desperate. You got to get hungry yourself. You got to pull out of me what you need. And the Bible says, and I close with this, that virtue left his body. That word is dunamis, which is also interpreted in Acts 1:8, the same word for power. You feel weak? No. The Bible says you can pull power out of God, but you can only pull it out if you're desperate. Other people touched him, and they didn't get their miracle. Why do I go to church and leave the same way I came in? Because you're not touching him with desperation. You got to start where you're at. Push your way through with a spirit of desperation. And as you do, your faith is going to increase. And when you get to him and you get in his presence, things are going to be released from him that he can't even help it being released. Are you hearing what I'm telling you right now? I want you to stand on your feet. What are you desperate for? What's going on in your life? Dunamis wants to come down. Power wants to come down. Virtue wants to come down in your life. Oh, but it's only for Joshua. It's only for Caleb. It's only for the one with the issue of blood. It's not for everybody. Everybody can't have this virtue. Everybody can't stop him in his tracks. Oh, but if you're desperate today, it can be you. It can be you. I open up these altars right now for somebody that says, I'm desperate. For somebody that needs a change in your life. For somebody that needs more than what you had. I tell you, get a spirit of desperation and let the virtue of Almighty God touch you this morning. How desperate are you? La, 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 la.